Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to High Hopes. Have you ever had a supernatural experience? Ever seen a ghost? Ever had a spirit connect with you? Or had a time where you had a psychic experience where your intuition was right and you knew it and it just came about to you? I would love to hear about your story. Supernatural phenomena have been happening forever. And the crazy thing is it doesn't happen to everybody, and there's a reason behind it. Not everybody believes in supernatural phenomena. You have non-believers out there who are triggered by anything spiritual or anything dealing with beyond what you can see in front of you. They're the ones, the non-believers are the ones that will trigger supernatural experiences, but won't take the credit for it, but they are the ones that will provoke it, but not do anything to take care of the situation. The ones that ruin it for everybody else. For example, if you're going to be stupid with a Ouija board, that Ouija board will connect with someone who ruined it for everybody else. They're the ones that usually die first in a horror movie. So you're probably understanding which one I'm referring to. The ones that don't believe in it, but they're the ones that will either piss their pants, shit themselves, or run and scream and hit soprano if they ever did have an experience. So everybody's experience is different. And those that haven't experienced it, there's a reason behind it. You may not be able to handle what happens. For example, if you're saying you've never had one, let me ask you a couple questions. Have you ever been afraid of the thing in your closet? Ever been afraid of the dark? Ever been afraid of the thing under your bed, like someone's going to eat your feet? Ever been scared about a noise in your house and you went under the covers? If you said yes to any of those things, congratulations. You know what it feels like to have a spirit around you because your mind is provoking it. It thinks that there's something in the closet, so it might even be true, which it can be, where a spirit can hear that you're scared of the closet and they may say, what's so scary about a closet? And you're picking up on them. Seeing is believing, but also feeling is believing too. When you got goosebumps and something is telling you not to do something, ever seen an abandoned warehouse and wanting to go explore it or run away from it because it's haunted? Guess what? It is. But it's not scary haunted. It's where spirits go to have their time to be alone so they're not disturbing people. They will go to abandoned places just so they can have peace and quiet and not be disturbed. That's how it is for people who are spiritual, like myself. I am an intuitive life coach. I've had this my whole life. I'm a natural-born clairvoyant. And most people that are spiritual in the psychic realm, not religious realm, are the ones that want to live alone and have no other choice but to live alone, because after the reading stops for you, it does not stop for your reader. The psychic medium or clairvoyant that connects with you, they go on to a different thing with how they do readings, and after when they're done doing the readings, they have to do rituals and stuff to take care of that. And I'll be talking about that tomorrow on tomorrow night's show on spirituality and what it's really like to have that. So please check out tomorrow's episode. Tonight's episode is all about supernatural experiences. And one of the things that I want to bring up is this. People who have suffered trauma in their life are the highest that deal with anxiety, stress, and depression and triggers. And they have the hardest of life in general because they are so easily triggered with these things. And it causes them to get really sick. There's two ways to live with anxiety, stress, and depression. On occasion, where you're triggered, but you know how to deal with it, and it's not daily. Or daily triggers of stress, anxiety, and depression, where all day you are being triggered without a break in between. There are times where it's so bad. For people who are empathic, they have natural anxiety, and they're picking up anxiety not on their end, but your end and everybody else's end. So I'm an intuitive life coach, and it's a sacrifice that I take to do my job because it's so overwhelming, but somebody's got to do it. And when you carry stress, anxiety, depression at a high level and it's daily, your body reacts in a very negative way. I have multiple sclerosis because I had a traumatic incident that happened to me when I was little. And my supernatural experience, before I get into it, I have a disclaimer. Any non-believers, I will be openly talking about spirits, ghosts, things that go bump in the night, anything spiritual, and intuition and all that. So if you're a non-believer, this is the time for you to let yourself out and don't let the door kick you on the way out. But if you have an open mind and want to know what this is about, what my story is about, please stick around because it's really interesting. It will be entertaining for you. If you like and mystery, you're going to love this episode. If you like adventure and exploration and happy endings and being able to meet the heroes, stay tuned because my supernatural experience created a phenomenon in my world where I created a series. This series is called The Quest. And everything I talk about with this story, you're going to be able to experience it for yourself because it walks you through everything that I experienced. And I would love for you to check it out as well. So stay tuned, and I will be giving you, being able to tell you where you can purchase this. It's called The Quest, and it takes you on a journey of life. Life experiences like no other. But there are life experiences of just about everything, and you can relate to it as well. Either you can relate to some of it, or you know somebody who can. So now is the time to kick back and relax because the story is about to begin. On August 31st, 1984, I was born. My name is Renee, and I'm a natural-born clairvoyant. But I didn't know I was that until I was in my 30s, until I turned 31 years old. But before that, I knew that I was going to be different. I enjoyed things at a different level, and my intuition was there my entire life. There were times where I acknowledged weird supernatural phenomena that happened to me during my life, and you'll be learning about that later on. This story is really unique because I had a traumatic experience that changed my world forever. When I was 18 months old, I had an accident where I fell down the basement stairs in my walker. My dad came home from work, and my brother got my attention, and he was all excited because my dad was home. And he came to see me, and I was in the living room in my walker. And my brother went down the basement stairs to visit my dad working in the workshop. And my brother forgot to do one thing, which was close the basement door. And he got my attention, and I went down the basement too. But I had a traumatic experience where I went to the hospital, I stopped walking, I stopped talking, I was very shaky. And it caused me to shut down. I stopped wanting to do anything. And my parents didn't give up on me, but it was a fight. They put me in occupational therapy, speech therapy, physical therapy, any type of therapy possible to help me be able to find my grounding. My mom put me in front of the TV, and luckily and thankfully Sesame Street was there for me to help me gain my knowledge and to get my words out. And I was able to start walking and talking again. My father got me walking by buying a plastic shopping cart at the store And I used that to lift myself up and to start walking. And it worked. So thanks to my parents, I was able to speak and to walk. So I was very blessed with that. But I discovered life on my own with my own experiences. I had a lot of experiences with nature and everything in between. I had an experience with a wild rabbit. I grew up in Massachusetts, and we have a family cottage. And we would go there every summer, for the entire summer. Every other Friday, I'd go visit my father after my parents divorced. And every other Friday, I'd go to my camp, and there'd be this wild rabbit there, a wild cottontail, getting my attention. I called it over, and I started to pet it and feed it. And it lasted for 4 years. Every summer, every spring and summer, I would be around that rabbit, and it was amazing. You can ask anybody in my family. It happened. And you'll learn about that in the quest, more about how that experience went. It was really unique. And I had other things happen where, as I grew up, I knew something wasn't right with certain things in my family, certain things out and about in the world. I knew about Freddie Mercury being sick. I was a huge fan of Freddie. And when I was little, and because of the movie Bohemian Rhapsody, I was able to get an insider look at why I knew he wasn't well back then. And it was all dedicated to when he got a haircut, when he grew a mustache and got a haircut, when I noticed Freddie changed. I didn't recognize him at all. And you'll learn about how I went through that process. And there was a situation where when I was 8 years old, my stepsister came over one day, and I'm a huge fan of the Muppets. I was born and raised in the 80s and 90s, so the Muppets were a part of those children's lives on a day-to-day basis, because the Muppets was huge back then. I think it was bigger back then, but it is still big now. And my sister brought over the movie Labyrinth, and because it was a Jim Henson movie, I was so excited to experience it and watch it. And for those that don't know, David Bowie was in that movie. He played the Goblin King, and he had makeup on and a wig and all that, but he looked really hot too. Not gonna lie there. When I was watching it, there's a scene, a masquerade scene, where they zoom in on his eyes. And for those that don't know about David Bowie, his eyes were different colors. And his eyes were different. And I was just zoned in on it. And it's like one of those moments when you meet somebody and you don't know why you like them, but you instantly think it's your soulmate when you meet people and you're really connected. There's a reason behind it. They're going to help you. They're needed in your life. There's something on your checklist that you have with them. And when you connect with that person, you'll figure it out why you like that, why that person is so connected to you. And when I saw him when I was 8 years old in the movie Labyrinth, I was really drawn to him. But I didn't know exactly who he was until Freddie Mercury died. When Freddie Mercury died, I was devastated. My stepmom told me that there was going to be a tribute concert. And I decided to watch the tribute concert. And during the concert, David Bowie was performing. And I asked my stepmother who is that man? And she's like, that's David Bowie. I said, is he the Goblin King? And she said, yeah, he is. Because he gave me this feeling that I felt when I saw Labyrinth, and I picked it up again, like that connection, staring at him going, why do I feel this way? And I got that confirmation that it was David. I said, well, I want to be with him. I would love to meet him. I would love to experience being with him. She's like, you can't. He's a celebrity. It'll never happen. I said, well, if that's the case, then I would like to be like him. And she said, well, I know he likes reading, and I know he likes reading and art. That's what was big with him. Reading and art is a big thing with David. And I started to love art and reading. When I got older, I had weird phenomenons happen to me. I had an experience where my stepfather's dad passed away. And he passed away in front of me when I was 16 years old. My intuition knew a week before he passed, he had an angina attack, which is a heart issue. And my body was acting after that happened to not let this man be alone. And the day that he had the heart attack and passed away, I was the only one in the house. Everybody else was outside shoveling. And when he told me he wasn't feeling well, I got everybody. And unfortunately, he had a heart attack and passed away. But I knew something wasn't right with my grandfather. But thankfully, I was there, because if I didn't know, if I was outside too, he would have died alone. There wouldn't have been anything we could have done. So it was very overwhelming. Throughout my life, I had my intuition kick on, but my supernatural experience happened when in 2016 is when I started to work with my abilities. And it wasn't until David Bowie's passing that triggered me to do this. So those that don't know about David Bowie, he loved spirituality, and he was a big taker on it. He was enjoying spirituality. He was told by a psychic in the 70s when he was going to pass, and he used that information to pan out his lifespan. And this woman said between 68 and 70, and he died at 69. And he assumed that was the number anyway, was the number 69, and he was right. He just didn't know the time. He knew the age. He didn't know what part of the year it was going to pass. When this happened, I went through a traumatic, with the loss of David Bowie, it brought on like a trauma experience. And what it happened was, when someone like that dies, or you feel drawn to, you're always wanting to watch what they were on, listen to their music, and kind of cope with the grieving process, because they meant something to you at one point or another. And when he died, I was watching all of his concerts, trying to watch Labyrinth again, and really trying to get the feel to grieve for this man and understand why I felt how I did when I was younger towards him. And one night, I was watching YouTube videos, and it was about 5 days after he died that I was watching this YouTube videos, and I decided to type in David Bowie's spirit just to see if anybody in the psychic realm decided to find him with devices and readings and whatnot. And sure enough, there were. And in my head, I was like, wow, you guys are not giving him enough time, because I felt that it might have been rude for people to be jumping in on that so fast after he just died. They give him time to adjust. And then I thought about it and said, wait a minute. I had owned a Ouija board. I had purchased it a year prior. I went to a supernatural convention for the TV show Supernatural. I've been in 9 of them. And the last one I went to was from Creation Entertainment. It was in March 2015 in Las Vegas. And it was a really interesting, that was a really interesting thing. And you'll learn about that on the quest that I'm going to be selling later on the show. Hold on a second. Let me grab a drink. Okay, I am back. Just had some Pepsi. All right, I need to retrack myself. Give me 1 second. I went to the convention and I bought the Ouija board. And in most cases, when people use Ouija boards, you've only heard the bad stories about it. Like, oh, it fucked stuff up. Bad experiences happened, you never use a board and everything. And being a fan of Supernatural, I've seen 10 seasons, between 10 and 11 seasons. And I've seen enough to where if something were to happen in my life, I would have enough knowledge from the show to be able to kind of tap in to help me out. And surprise, surprise, I needed that. The knowledge from the show helped me with this experience that I'm about to tell you. So 5 days after David Bowie died, I said, okay. I asked a former friend of mine, hey, do you want a Ouija Bowie tomorrow? And she went, no, I don't want to. And yet she was a fan of David. So I was like, okay, I guess I have to do this on my own. And I'd never used a board on my own before. I was really scared. I was nervous. But I talked with the board prior to. Nobody was in my house, so I decided to try it. And the first thing I said was, given the fact it was a supernatural Ouija board from the TV show, I said, listen, I need to connect with David Bowie. So if David Bowie is willing to communicate, I'm willing to do it as well. But there's a problem. I need to believe that I will be talking to you. So seeing is believing. I will ask you 3 questions. And if you can answer these 3 questions, the best to your knowledge, and answer it properly, I will have to assume it's you and agree upon this. So if you don't want to do it, don't answer it. If you do, please answer. And the first question I asked was, spell the name of your second wife. And I put my hand on the eyepiece, and it spelled out Iman. And that was, in fact, his second wife. I said, okay, that's one for you. Thank you for playing along. The next question I asked was, name something you've painted. And I had recently watched an interview where he said he painted a tulip. And he spelled out a tulip. And I agreed. I said, yes, I remember that absolutely. Then I asked the final question, what type of cigarettes did you smoke? Because unfortunately, he got cancer from the years of smoking. And he said, Marlboro Lights, Marlboro 100s, and also French cigarettes too. So I had a group of it, and I looked at all the kinds that he smoked, and it was true. And I said, okay, I had to believe it. And then he flipped it onto me. He reversed the question aspect because he needed to trust me. And he said, may I ask you a question? The eyepiece moved and said, may I ask a question for you? And I said, it's only fair. And what you guys don't know is I was, at that time, in the middle of January 2016, I was in a very heavily abusive relationship. And I was also heavily involved with a prescription painkiller addiction for 7 years. David said to me, can we talk about Percocet? And right there, it broke my heart. I started to cry. And I said, how do you know about that? And what I found out was that 5 days that he died, he was learning all about me. He was checking out my house. Just as much as I was looking at him, he was looking back at me. He was checking out who I was with. He saw everybody. He saw my ex-husband, he saw my mom, he saw my children, he saw everybody, and he saw my habits. And he noticed every time I would use a pill, I was being triggered by somebody in my life. Whether it was overwhelming, having a stressful day being a mom, being abused by my ex-husband, being lonely, depression, it was there. And he's like, can we talk about it? And I was like, I don't know why I'm using. And he informed me why I was using. He says, I looked at your life and you're being abused. And I was unaware because I was with a manipulator. And I got so overwhelmed because I woke up at that point. And when you have an awakening, not a spiritual awakening, but it was a spirit that woke me up, is what happened. And when you wake up, it's because you discovered the truth in your life, in your own reality. When you're like, oh my God, how long has this been going on? Holy crap. And right there, he was the one that told me why I was using. And you know what I did? I quit cold turkey. A 7-year pill addiction, I quit cold turkey. I said, I'm done. And it was shocking. By within 3 months, I finished everything that I was connected to. I also have multiple sclerosis. And because of that fall, it triggered the traumatic experience, which caused me to have different experiences with stress, anxiety, and depression. So if I'm triggered, my body reacts, where there are days where I can't even get out of bed. But I still do it anyways. I still work and I still try my best. And it has those moments. So within 3 months, I was off all my medicine. I quit everything cold turkey, and I had to let go of everything. Some I quit cold turkey. Others I had to wean myself off for health reasons. And I discovered third eye, waking up my sixth sense, being able to say, thank you for telling me what, how to get clean, to be a better person and be a better mom. But he also taught me, he put me on my own labyrinth thing. And it's strange that I tell you this, that the quest was my experience of experiencing a labyrinth, a never-ending cycle of odds and ends and ups and downs and twists and turns, and some days where you don't even know who the fuck you are, where you're like, I blacked out. And he took me on a journey. Within the first 6 months of me working with my abilities, doing readings and learning about spirituality, and it started to come naturally. It was my entertainment, and it still is to this day. I don't like to watch TV. I'm not a big fan of television. Like, I watch stuff, but stuff I've already seen before, or movies or fun stuff that I know the ending. That's just how I am. I'm not a big fan of the news. It triggers anxiety, stress, and depression, so I try to avoid it at all costs. But I do keep track of what's kind of going on in the world. But he took me on my quest, and this quest really opened my world up. When the first day I made a profit, I had doubters in my life. Doubted my spirituality. He didn't like it. He was offended by it. He didn't get it. And within the first day of working, I made $180 my first day. And I look back on myself, I was a mere nothing, but I made $180 in my first day. That was a proud moment. And then I showed my ex-husband what I did. And he was like, wow, awesome. And I said, this could be the start of a new beginning for us. This could help us get ahead. This can help me get away from being on disability. This can help me be productive in this family and not just be a lump on the couch. This can get me motivated. And the hardest thing was I was still being abused by him during this time, mental and emotional abuse. He was really against it, and I believe it's my fault in a way. It's my fault. In 2012, I've always been involved with spirituality and psychics, even when I was, before I got married, I was involved with it, and my ex knew about it. There are many times where he was aware of me liking this type of stuff. But in 2012, I lived in the outskirts of Reno, Nevada. And where I live, there's a town called Sparks, Nevada, and there's this place called the Daughter's Cafe. And it's a known haunted place. I'm not sure if it's open anymore now, but it's a known haunted place. And I saw that they were doing a local psychic that's been here forever. She decided to do a dinner show thing where it was like 20 people. And we went there, and we had a dinner, and she read everybody. When she got to me, my ex-husband was sitting next to me. And she was like, I see a David. trying to find something in, like, the Holy Bible. And she's like, does that make any sense to you? And at the time, I was like, I have no clue what you're talking about. I forgot I was a fan of David Bowie. I didn't know, but I knew somebody by the name of David at that time. I went to school with a David. And when we left there, out of the blue, my ex was like, I don't like your friend David. So he was like, this David seemed powerful. So he didn't want me to be connected to anybody by the name of David. And then when David Bowie died, that's when all hell broke loose, because that triggered a memory with my ex-husband where he's like, oh, this is that David thing. This is the David. So his soul was like, oh, crap, this is what triggered me. This is what changed me. And that was the moment that broke my marriage, was when we went to this place, because all hell broke loose after this happened, because the whole purpose was for me to remove my ex from my life because he was toxic. And he knew once David was in my life, he was done for. And if you're thinking that this is a crazy experience, it was. It happened to the T. And you'll learn about that experience on the quest, because when you include a spirit in your life, it can either be a really awesome experience or a fucked up situation that you wish would never, you wish it would go away because it's scary. When it's not scary, it's all right. But when it is, you got to take note of it, because scary situations where stuff is breaking, stuff is flying across the room, that's a spirit trying to get your attention. You don't know how to communicate with the spirit, you need to find someone who can to help you with it. And I'll be real with you. I went through a divorce because I felt safer being on my own than I did being with someone who was going to hurt me on a day-to-day basis. And I felt safer with David versus my ex-husband. Once I made that connection with David and we acknowledged each other, I said, we need to stick together with this. We cannot break this connection because we need each other. You just died. You need that connector to still be able to work and do something. And he wanted to help me. And if you think, oh, he would never help you, well, think again. When you're at your most vulnerable state in your life, who do you go to for help? It's kind of like being a lost kitten and you show up at somebody's house and say, can you adopt me or point me in the right direction because I need your help. You look like a safe person. Help me. And that's what David needed. Spirits like safe people. They like to be around people who are not going to hurt. They like to be around people who are not going to be a trouble or a cause or a trigger. Believe that one. You don't want to be with somebody who's going to piss you off 24/7. You can only handle that and tolerate it for so long before you go apeshit. And that's what happened with my ex-husband. He would trigger me daily of my stress, anxiety, and depression, and I was sick more than I was healthy. And because of my supernatural experience, I was able to learn about meditation, how to think better, how to focus, and my multiple sclerosis changed its course. I've had 4 MRIs since opening up my third eye, and every result is better than the year prior. And the weird thing is the year priors are still good. There's no progression of my MS. There is no new spots that have been there. All the vessels look clear. My head is smooth. Everything looks great. My spine is looking fantastic. And for someone with multiple sclerosis, everybody's different with it, where you can't even get out of bed, you're in a wheelchair, or you can still be a normal functioning person. And I never take the following for granted. Breathing, eating, taking a shower, brushing my teeth, using the bathroom on my own, and the fact that I get to live alone is a blessing that I never take for granted, because at any moment it can be taken from me because of my stress, anxiety, and depression. If I'm triggered, I have to be very careful. And David helped me develop and learn who are my triggers in my life. And it's people who you can tolerate so long before you need a break. And unfortunately, there's been family drama. It happens. You have people who believe and don't believe and don't know what to believe. And I experienced that, not just with my ex-husband, but my entire family. They kind of pushed away against what I do. They weren't a fan of it because it broke my marriage, but my marriage was broken way before spirituality was ever a thing in my life. It was over. And this just kind of concluded that if I would have stayed in my marriage, I would have died of a drug overdose. And if I, when I left, it gave me life and a purpose. This kind of is a, if you've ever been a fan of the TV show Grey's Anatomy, and the Denny and Izzy storyline, kind of like that. Denny came into Izzy's life as a patient and needed a friend and needed that last little hurrah before he passed away. And he fell in love. But with David and I, we became, he's like my spiritual BFF. He helps me, I help him, we work together, and we're on the same wavelength. Our personality is matched to the T. Because if he was alive and he knew me, we would probably live near each other because that's how much we would be friendly with each other. If he personally knew me physically, I would move to New York to live closer to him. That's how far it would have gone if he would have known me being alive. That's how we are together. And with the Izzy and Denny thing, there's so many connections to that with my story and him, which is David is a Capricorn. He likes animals, and he had a heart problem. He passed away. I was a med student for 2 years when I was in high school. I almost had my CNA. I can see people that have crossed over, and I can communicate with them. I can see them and hear them, and I can feel spirits. And you're like, ew, gross, you can feel spirits. Actually, it's not in a disgusting way. It's more like the goosebumps or feeling, you can just feel their personality arrive. And that's how it goes. Goosebumps, cold moments, and just feeling the room. I can feel a room and know instantly who's in it. So it's not bad at all. During the Izzy and Denny part of with Grey's Anatomy, when Denny passed away, he connected with Izzy spiritually, and she was able to pick up on him. She had a tumor, but she didn't know she was sick, but he knew she was sick. And she was able to identify what it was that she was sick. And now that she knew it, he kind of was like in and out of her life. And when David came in my life, he warned me I had a tumor too. But it wasn't in my head, but it was trying to attach to my head. And I was, my tumor was my ex-husband. He was sucking the life out of me. He was ruining my life, hurting me, and he was a tumor. And he was trying to mentally get into my head, but I reversed it. And you'll learn all about that story on the quest. This quest is really unique because with this supernatural experience that I had, it's very overwhelming to say the least, because you have a celebrity there and you have other celebrities connected too to the story. It's not just David. I talk about Freddie Mercury, connecting with him when I was a kid, and spiritually, and also having a spiritual connection to Paul Walker as well. And the crazy thing about this was Paul Walker connected with me after he died, but it was like incognito. I started to change my attitude a little bit. I started to explore healthier ways to live, even though through my drug addiction, I had moments of overdose. And I got told not too long ago that during those times, when you cross over, there's always somebody there to greet you on the other side. And he would have helped me walk through for David. He would have helped me wait for David so I would have a buddy system and we'd be able to hang out and still have somewhat of a life. So he would have been my buddy to cross me over if I would have accidentally overdosed. And you're probably thinking, oh, he should have got you off the drugs. It wasn't that. I wasn't listening to him the way I did with David. It was a different situation. It had to be the way it was. It just had to be. When you learn about this situation, you will agree that I tried and did my best, and you would have done the same if you were put in my shoes. If you wanted to stay in a broken marriage or be saved and find a purpose. Because one of the greatest things was being able to see ahead, see the future and feel the future and know the future. I was able to set goals, realistic goals for myself, to make it in my life in the last 5 years. I had to work to get my kids back. And I worked to get my kids back. It started off with, after my divorce, my ex gained custody of my children. I do talk about that experience. And during that experience, hold on 1 second. I'm having a brain fart. Give me 1 second. Give me one moment. My ex-husband gained custody of my children, and during the last 5 years, I had to work my way to gain more time with my children. So what happened was it started off with seeing my kids for 3 hours every other Thursday, and then it went to one overnight from Friday to Saturday. And it stayed for that for about 3 years, 3.5 years. And then recently, I gained full weekend, the full weekend from Friday to Sunday. And I am super blessed with that. And I get them the first, second, and fourth weekend of the month versus only seeing them for less than 48 hours in a month. So being able to see the future, I was able to learn what I had to do to reach those goals. My goal was to be at weekend visits by a certain time, and I made it. And I was super proud of myself. And I just had to be a better mom. I had to really focus on them and never make anger about them. And knowing about this, I was also taught by David how to be a decent person in life, how to be a productive person in society, how to be an adult. And he taught me that from the age of 31 to 36 and a half. He taught me how to be an adult better than any other adult that's been out there so far that's been in my life to teach me. He's teaching me about what it feels like to be at your lowest point, to be able to experience and appreciate your high and never, ever lose that moment. Winning the lottery, end up getting the lottery curse because they burn through it so fast, and they think they have to burn through it so fast with all the money and have that luxurious lifestyle from going from an apartment to a mansion with 30 rooms and a butler. I don't care how much money I get in my life from my career or whatnot. I will never buy a mansion because I don't feel it's necessary in my life. I saw a house I want for my children and myself, and it's a four-bedroom under $200,000. That is what I'm going for because that is what is reasonable because I'm thinking about more than just myself. I'm thinking about other people around me. I don't want to show off my house like, look, it's my prized possession. No, this is where I live. That's how you're supposed to be. This is my place. Care of it. And I have to think of my children because we've never lived a luxurious lifestyle ever, and I don't want to have that mindset of the luxurious lifestyle. We can have nice things, but we don't have to have it always. I will always shop at Walmart or Target because that's what I was raised on, and I will always go by that. And I just feel to be in the now, and David taught me so much. So having a spirit in your life, like I said, can either be a good thing or a bad thing. And when you take the quest, you're going to develop a connection to myself and you and others too. So it's not just an experience about my life. It's yours too and others. I'm going to tell you now about the quest. The quest, there are 4 stations to visit in the quest. It's all included. The quest costs $10 to try this, to experience. It's not a try, it's an experience. There's 4 stops that you have. The first is the ultimate personality test. This test is more of learning about the 5 personalities that are out there around the world. And we've all experienced them all on social media. Social media has another name. It's called reality. It's just virtual reality is the more like it. This is virtual reality. Social media, being able to experience life in the comfort of your own home. And this test is going to help you develop who you really are, which category are you, which category is your trigger, and which category, who you are, who I am, and who they are. And you'll be able to learn so much to where it can wake you up and realize who you really are, who's really around you, and who you can trust. Because there's a lot of people who've already experienced it that say that their trust circle has gotten a lot shorter since experiencing it. It's going to teach you about the entertainment business, too, about getting with a good manager or a bad manager and how that can cause a lot of issues, too. Once you're finished the quiz, the test, the ultimate personality test, it's a video. It's a YouTube video. That's the first thing that you watch. The next one is a journal. It's a mom's journal, and a mom's journal is my journal. All the advice that I have given to my kids and other people that help them, more like universal help, that all this information can help everybody. And I have more self-help books waiting to be out there in the world that I can't wait to share with you guys as well. This journal is inspired by the TV show Sapon, Dad's Journal, but in a mom's perspective. Dad's Journal, if you don't know what Supernatural is, please Netflix it and go to Supernatural. Type in Supernatural and check it out for yourself. It is incredible. Once you discover the supernatural life, it will never leave you. Just telling you that, just explaining it to yourself that once you experience it, whether it be physical, mental, emotional, you will experience it. It never leaves you. It will never go away once you're connected to it, is what I'm trying to say. So with the Dad's Journal, it talks about removing monsters from your life and when you run into one, how to take care of it. And there's one monster that I talk about in my journal, and that's narcissistic behavior or personality. If you've ever been around a narcissist, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you need to know an example of a narcissist, if you've ever seen the TV show The Walking Dead, look up Negan and check it out on YouTube and watch a couple things. You'll be able to see the personality right there. They have no filter. They think they're God's gift to mankind. Their mindset is in reverse. Positives are negative and negatives are positive. That's how these people think. The next step is where my story comes into play as well, where you get to learn my background history. I made a documentary. I made it myself. Same with the journal, same with the ultimate personality test. Nobody helped me with it except myself and my intuition. We worked together at it. They're saying spirits work, though. We all work together. We all sit there and come up with ideas and work together. I'll be talking about that on future shows, about what it's really like to be spiritual and how to handle this type of information. So the next one is the documentary. It talks about my story from the beginning, from when I was baby, my accident, and all the times my intuition was there and interacted with myself or other people. So when you experience it, it's going to be very overwhelming for you, because the next step is learning about the person who broke my heart, the narcissistic person, my past relationship, my ex-husband. We talk so much about, there's abuse that happens in the book, and everybody's experienced some form of abuse. Mental, emotional, physical, sexual, everything's in that book. The good, the bad, and the ugly. It's not all bad. It's not bashing, oh, how dare he do this, that, and the other. It takes on everything. And this has a chance to be a movie, and I want this movie to be included with the cast of Supernatural, because I talk about my supernatural experiences, plus the show, plus everything else involved with it. So it would only be better to have them involved with the movie. And about the movie is, I want to play the role of myself and have a different experience on film, to have the real person involved with their movie, with their story. Stories, the person is gone. They're dead. And they have other people portraying them. I don't want that to be my story, because if it did, Felicia Day would be playing me. But I love Felicia. I've met her. But I really don't want her to play me, because I can play myself just fine. And I'm open and willing to take on the journey to go back and face my past. Because what I would like to do with the movie concept is taking it in three different ways. A couple different ways, which is portraying what really happened, and then when we're going through stuff from when after I became awake and aware of my surroundings, saying I would have done this if I was awake. So experiencing what really happened and then changing it and saying this is what I would have done if I was aware that it was happening, if I could have taken care of it, if I didn't silence myself. And I also want another version of it where the person who's playing my ex-husband is giving their personal opinion on what they would have done if they were awake and aware of the situation. And this person who I would like to portray my ex-husband is Jeffrey Dean Morgan. He looks like my ex-husband, and all the roles he's played that had a leading lady role, those can be mixed in to showing the levels of my ex-husband. And being able to wake up those characters won't be hard for him. It can be traumatic, it can be overwhelming, but being able to experience it at a real level. And with this story, it's not just one book. It is one book, but it's not going to be one movie. You can't cram it all in one movie. It's going to be broken down into possibly six parts, because there's still more to the story besides what's in the quest. I'm in the writing process of taking care of writing about 2020 and 2021 because it just finished today. My storyline about how I want to finish to complete this series and to focus on other things in the future about what's to happen and everything else. And being able to get my story out there and to get it to film, I need the help of everybody else that's tuned in and listening to this, because if you shout about it, you'll be able to understand about everything and to share this experience with other people as well. Enough people take the quest and learn about it, you're saving your life and others too. And this quest also has kind of like a scavenger hunt connected to it. You have to find the password. There is a password hidden in the quest. And this password is the key to enter my world. You also need the door to enter it. You'll also find that on the scavenger hunt. When you find the password, you will need it should you go through the entire quest with ease. If you go through it with no problems at all, I'll be shocked. But if you come out of the quest a changed person, you're going to be reaching for the internet to contact me. You're going to be reaching for my contact info because you need my help. You have questions. You need advice. That's where I come into play. I only help people who understand exactly what I do and my background story as to why I do what I do. So there are times where non-believers will reach for the phone and want to mess with me just because they're bored. That's not what you do. Those are triggers. Those are nasty trolls. And no password, no service. So when you call me for my service, I'm going to ask you for the password. And I'm going to ask you questions about some of the things that you experienced during the quest. I'm going to ask you three questions. Think of that one person who triggers your anxiety. Think of that one person who broke your heart. Think of that one person who triggers stress, anxiety, and depression. Now I want to ask you this. Was it the same person for all those questions, or was it multiple people? Because when you have one person doing the job of multiple people, you have a narcissistic person on your hand. That is a trigger. Their purpose in life is to piss people off and to hurt people. If they don't trigger somebody, they did not have a good day. These are also the type of people who don't like, they hate photos, period. They don't like focusing on themselves. They don't take care of themselves. They have no belief in themselves. They hate the world. They hate everybody, but they want the world to respect them. But they don't respect the world, and therefore it backfires on everybody else. So these triggers are the reason why stress, anxiety, and depression exist. And the ratio of people who deal with daily anxiety, stress, and depression versus occasional are starting to die. And this is what's happening. There are more people triggered daily than there are people triggered occasionally. The triggers, the ones that forget about yesterday because they numb themselves. And the reason why they numb themselves is because they were triggered yesterday. They were active yesterday. They triggered somebody to piss them off. Therefore, they were active. All you have to do to get these people to be active is to be happy, is to be content with life, and to be successful with life. And you can't be successful when you have a trigger nagging on you, triggering you, and making you want to give up on your life's dreams, goals, wishes, and wants. can be a horrible experience for people that want to be out in the business like myself and be triggered by negativity so bad that you don't want to leave your home. And that happens to most people that are empathic, spiritual, and believers. People who believe in themselves, people who believe in others, and people who believe in beyond. And that's religion, and that's spirituality. Religion, let me see, hold on one second. There's this quote from David Bowie that I love, and I just found it today. I've seen it before in the past. What is it? Hold on. Oh, shoot. What was it? I know it's here. Give me a second. It is, religion is for people who fear hell. Spirituality is for people who've been there. I couldn't agree more. When you experience a personal hell is when it feels like Groundhog Day every day. You can't get out of that routine, and you're just negative. You just feel like there's a black cloud over you, and you can't catch a breath. You can't take a moment for yourself. It can be very overwhelming, to say the least. So if you would like to try the quest, here's where you can get a copy of it. The quest is very, very, very unique. And it's kind of like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. It's that the five personalities of the world, of reality, the five personalities. So if you remember, if you've ever seen Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, this man is giving a child's dream is to own a chocolate factory. And he went through these five people to see the ratio of 1 out of 5 people can handle the responsibility of running a business. 1 out of 5 people can handle running a business smoothly. Everybody else, there's some bumps in the road. For example, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory has anybody that's a spoiled brat. You can't have that in the industry because it's high demand and stress and anxiety and triggers and being overwhelmed and no respect. No respect for themselves or other people. You can't have competition because you're not supposed to be competing. You're supposed to be working. You're supposed to be able to get your stuff out there and not compete about your partners, about the other people who do what you do. You work the best, you try your best, and you do the best you can. That's all you have to do. You can't have someone that can't keep the mouth shut, because then you're going to release all the secrets of your business. You don't do that. You don't release that out, so you can't have somebody that's running their mouth. What was the other one? You can't have gluttony. You can't have somebody who's going to eat the inventory. You can't have that in your life. If you've ever got a chance to be in a candy store, it can be overwhelming because temptation is there. And I know some candy owners, they'll be able to like say, oh, I know I purchased it from my store, but I consider it okay, so they can steal a piece or two. Stealing a piece or two, that's one thing. But getting diabetes from your career, that's not a good thing. And my family is one to speak because I grew up with a family of bakers, and they all had diabetes. And my mom said, be careful you don't get diabetes. I said, I don't eat my inventory. I remember as a kid, I would always get danishes anytime my uncles would be visiting. They would always come down with a box full of baked goods. So when you get hereditary diabetes, you first have to look at how did they get it in the first place. It wasn't passed down. Your lifestyle can make that happen, just like with my mom and my grandmother. My grandmother died of colon cancer, and my mom is afraid she's going to get it. I said, Mom, there's a big difference. Grandma smoked like a chimney for years and years and years, and you don't smoke. Therefore, your chance of getting colon cancer is pretty slim. You may get like a polyp here and there, but you're not going to get colon cancer because your mom had it. It's all about your lifestyle. If you smoked, yeah, that increases it a lot. It's so overwhelming, but you will be able to, during the quest, you will be able to meet all these people in my life, my family, my friends that I had over the years, and my experiences. My experience will be able to help wake up your past and get through your past, because your past is a reflection on your future. Remember that. Your past is a reflection of your future. So if you're stuck in a rut and you grew up in a very negative situation, it's up to you to reverse that and to make it better. For example, non-believers stopped believing because they were told Santa doesn't exist when at one point they said Santa existed. They found out that they didn't get the bike that they wanted for Christmas. And think about the bike in a different way. You hoped for a bike when you were a kid, but sometimes getting a bike as a kid isn't the greatest because you're limited. You can go, but the gate's not open. You can travel, but you have a curfew. You can only go so far before you get in trouble. So maybe that bike wasn't meant for you as a child. Maybe you needed to get it as an adult, because when you're adult, you don't have a curfew. You do set limits for yourself for how far you can go and how long you're out for the day. So that's opening up when you're letting the dog run. That's freedom. Or experiencing that bike at a different level by saying, if you didn't grow up in a home where you could get that bike for Christmas, being able to say, I didn't get that bike I wanted as a kid, but maybe I was meant to see it seeing my child receive the bike at Christmas instead, because that's just as rewarding as when you getting it as a kid. Because that's when the Christmas magic stays, is when your child opens up that gift they've always wanted and it's finally there in front of them. But non-believers may not get that bike as a kid because of two reasons: financial issues in their home, or their attitude, because your attitude's pretty crappy, or you grew up in a time where your parents weren't wealthy and they didn't have money. There's a lot of families out there that if they could afford a bike for their child, they'd get it for them. They'd get that list, they'd pick it if they could afford it. They would do it. But the attitude also changes everything too. If you're going to have a snot-nosed attitude, you're not going to get far in life. And that's what happens with non-believers. They get an attitude. And when you take the personality test, you're going to meet those bad apples, those people that ruin it for everybody else. This is really going to wake everybody up and realize their true potential. And I'm so glad that I'm able to help that, because how magic happens is when enough people check it out and they agree upon it, they will support and value anybody with their project that they do in the future. And it helps you, it helps other people, and it helps my clients, and it also helps my family and animals. This quest helps everybody, because the proceeds of the quest, it's $10 to get a cop to get yourself the quest. $10, every $100 made, $25 gets donated to local animal shelters all over the United States, kind of like a pay it forward or a secret Santa. I couldn't just pick one shelter because they all need the following: food, toys, treats, and blankets, and better facilities too. So the more people that join, the bigger the prize for these facilities. If I check them out and say they need this really bad on top of what they also need, I will be able to get that for them. So if enough people believe in the quest, this can be a big deal. And you'll be able to help animals get better successes with being able to be adopted too, with better photography, kind of like glamour shots for animals, to get them on the website to make their pictures look better than being in a kennel or something. So this is a big deal. It also helps, you can also, there's a place to tip too. I'm going to be going towards helping me put pay bills and my own personal life and put food on my table. It's also going to help pay back the people in my life who really were there for me, even though they were emotionally not there. Physically and financially, they were there for me. My mom spent $500 on her grandkids last weekend with clothing for her grandchildren, and I would love to be able to pay her back. So if you feel that you would like to help support this, here's how you can help. Get a copy of the quest. You can also donate, too. And when you're going through the quest, there are times where you can donate for other reasons, too. And when you learn about why this is happening, the more you know about the story, the more you will appreciate where your tip is really going. So also what's happening, too, is my service is at the end. And my service is $20 for 20 minutes or $60 for an hour. The phone session, and we could do a video session too. I'm also going to be having an area to do email sessions as well for those that can't do phone sessions and whatnot. You can also have a place where I want to hear your supernatural experiences, and there's an email address that you can tell me your story. Make sure when you get to this point, you put your first name and your phone number, and when I read it, I might call you and check up on you and see how you're doing too, because you're also helping people, women and men, who've been through a lot of things that I have in my story, being with a narcissistic person, getting over a broken heart, healing from abuse, experiencing abuse, and needing that. And when you're leaving a narcissistic person, they leave you with nothing. No voice, no backbone, no money, no family support, no friends, no way to manage your life. Those are the people that take everything from you. They're trying to make you homeless. So think of all the homeless people out there. They were triggered and put out on the streets because they thought that they were worthless. But all the reason why there's homeless people is because they got left with nothing. They were triggered by people, and they lost everything. So, like I said, this is going to wake up so many people when you experience it. And when you tell me your story, I'll be able to, when you know the password and everything, the password that you find is also going to be used in the subject line of the email. Again, no password. No service. The password has to meet. I have a few moments remaining on my show, but my phone is about ready to die. I'm at 3%. So here's where you can purchase the quest. Please go to blogtalkradio.com/highhopes247. It's blogtalkradio.com/highhopes247. That's where you'll be able to see the description of my program. In the description of the program, there are two links, a link for the quest and a link to tip. If you like what you heard tonight, you're more than welcome to tip. I will be back tomorrow for another episode of High Hopes, and we're going to talk about what it's really like to be spiritual. How do spiritual people deal with certain things and the anxiety and stress that happens with us when we're triggered, how we handle it? Because after the reading is done, it's not over for the spiritual person. It's not over. It's just the beginning. When you learn about the routine of what happens, you'll be shocked. So please tune in tomorrow for another episode of High Hopes Intuitive Life Coach Service. What's going to happen is in future shows, I'll be opening up the line to do free questions and so forth. So this is going to be an experience of supernatural experiences, spirituality, multiple sclerosis, cannabis, and so much more. So thank you so much for tuning in. I truly appreciate it. Please share this video with share the show with everybody you know. And please, please take care of yourself, take care of each other, and be a good person. Thank you so much. I will be back tomorrow for another episode. God bless, and have a wonderful evening.